For Australians with an intellectual disability, going to hospital can be more dangerous than for the rest of us. On average, people with an intellectual disability are twice as likely to suffer a preventable death. A draft roadmap released by the federal government has set some fairly ambitious targets to address the problem. Victoria Pengilly reports.
Maureen McElquam's daughter should not have died.
She was always happy. She wanted to get a job. She wanted to work in an office. She wanted to work in an office. And she wanted a boyfriend. Like, she was tired really hard. She enjoyed every day.
In May 2009, Michelle McElquam had a seizure and was rushed to Bankstown Hospital in Sydney. The 28-year-old was diagnosed with an ear infection, prescribed antibiotics and painkillers, and sent home. 7 hours later, she'd stopped breathing. She later died from meningitis.
And then I tried to revive her and worked on her in the ambulance and took her. She came back and said, sorry, I couldn't save her.
A coronial inquest found Michelle McElquam's condition was overlooked by medical staff who couldn't see past her mild intellectual disability. Her case is not an isolated one. Recent research from the University of New South Wales found 38% of deaths of people with intellectual disabilities are preventable. Jim Simpson is from the Council for Intellectual Disability.
People with intellectual disability often find it harder to explain their health problems. Another major problem is just the lack of training that doctors and other health professionals have, which means that they often aren't aware of some of the kinds of health conditions that go with specific causes of intellectual disability.
Adding to the problem, people with an intellectual disability also experience a large range of potential risk factors for early death, including heart problems, high blood pressure, and obesity.
What we know is that, you know, normal health checks that are done for people are done much less often with people with intellectual disability than they are with the general population.
The federal government has recently released a draft national roadmap for improving health services for people with intellectual disability. Professor Julian Troller from the University of New South Wales was a contributor to the plan.
I think it's been too neglected for too long, certainly, but we feel that we now have enough data that helps support a case to do something further. It's disappointing at some levels to have to demonstrate such a stark health inequality before action's taken.
Included in the draft is a proposal for a national reporting system of deaths of people with intellectual disability and an emphasis on training medical staff. Professor Julian Troller again.
Having a data system that is able to report on outcomes would keep us all accountable and striving toward an improved healthcare system for this group.
Rebecca Kelly has had her fair share of experience with the health system. Her son Ryan lives with a variety of conditions.
Ryan is an absolutely gorgeous little 8-year-old boy. He's also very medically complex, so he has an intellectual disability.
But the Launceston-based mother says she's had to battle to have nurses and doctors listen to her concerns.
We haven't been listened to, and I've gone in and said, look, he's in pain, and you get that response of, doesn't look too bad to me. And I guess our knowledge of what's going on for him hasn't been respected either.
Maureen McElquam knows nothing can ever replace her daughter, but she believes the plan is a step in the right direction towards ensuring others don't suffer the same pain.
It is good that they're going to get the training, but it has to be given to the proper people that do care about people with disabilities. I've got to care enough.
Maureen McElquam ending that report by Victoria Pengilly.